Mark, how are you doing?
Charles, doing great.
Excellent. So, Mark Rusinovich, everybody knows you, but go ahead and introduce yourself.
Mark Rusinovich, I work in Windows. I'm a technical fellow, work on the CoreOS and long-term architecture of Windows.
Excellent. How are you doing?
Good, Charles. Nice to see you. Dave Solomon.
Great to finally meet you. You always write really interesting things. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm here in Redmond, teaching a Windows Internals class to a Microsoft development group.
Excellent.
It's a strange feeling to come to Microsoft and tell Microsoft people how Windows works, but it's a privilege to be invited to do that and also be able to see Mark. We had a nice dinner together Monday.
Excellent.
And we have some exciting news.
Absolutely. And can we show what that exciting news
yes.
is? It's actually concrete.
Windows Internals, 5th edition.
Nice.
Finally hits the streets this week. So it started shipping yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, that is a thick book, which is why you have to actually come up here and teach us about it.
In fact, how much? This
it's
is
like 1,250 pages.
25% larger than the 4th edition. So it's the largest increase, I think, in any of the editions.
Does that mean the kernel's getting bigger?
The kernel is just always efficient. And it's
getting
better.
Had more functionality.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we wanted to try to track the Vista memory footprint increase with the size of the book increase.
But you know, we're the next edition, we're going to start working on it right now. We're going to make sure that we fit in the same spine. So we're going to add more content. We're going to take out words.
Wow.
So that we can fit the new material in without, and be able to use the same hardware, basically. Right.
Just like Windows 7.
Yeah.
In fact,
absolutely.
This update is the Vista 2008 update, but we've already planned the changes for Windows 7. We expect that to be out much sooner than this was after Server 2008. The reason I think for somebody that's still with XP, that's looking at Windows 7, mm-hmm. although this book is not updated for Windows 7, it's covering all the core kernel changes that were introduced in Vista that carry forward into Windows 7. And the level of change from Vista to Windows 7 is obviously much less. So somebody's trying to get a jump on Windows 7, this is going to cover key technology.
Basically, Windows 7 is almost entirely additive. So there's in the new book, there'll be new material that's not
excellent.
In Vista, but everything that's in Vista is basically in Win 7.
Absolutely.
There's a new name on the book cover.
Yeah. Alex Ionescu down here.
All right. Well, what's his story?
Well, Alex, when Mark came to Microsoft, when he was stolen by you guys.
We didn't steal him.
Yeah. Well, I told him it was his destiny all along. he wasn't able to teach Windows Internals classes with me, so I needed to find somebody to help. So he's Mini Mark.
Interesting.
He's the Mark replacement. He's not as tall, though.
No.
Anyway, Alex has been teaching the class with me, and Mark and I decided to engage him to help us do the update. So he did quite a bit of work on this.
So let's talk about a few of the key things that are in the book that are new in Vista. I mean, we've talked to Mark before about Windows 7. Probably the most popular interview in Channel 9's history. He went through the kind of
until
a long list way.
Until
this one, because now we have David Solomon on camera. You know, a lot of people have read your stuff and may not have met you. You do teach a lot.
And they love your tools, too.
Yeah, I love getting credit for the SysInternals tools. Even though I've contributed to none of them, other than suggestions and bug reports.
So as an outsider, who's not really an outsider, but you are, you don't work for us, take us through some of the key things that are, you know, that you're really interested in, or the things that stand out the most to you.
Because I love the memory manager the most, Superfetch is really super. The whole technologies around Superfetch introduced in Vista that carry forward into Windows 7. That was a real state-of-the-art advance in memory management technology. So the whole goal of Superfetch is to keep RAM full of the things that you're using the most. And it smooths out the usage patterns of the system, because prior to the introduction of Superfetch, accessing some large set of files that you don't regularly access basically causes what's cached to be replaced with stuff that you're not going to use again. What Superfetch is doing is putting back into RAM the things that you're using the most based on page access histories that it's accumulating in a Windows service. So that's very, very cool.
And it also prioritizes memory. So it, based on the access patterns that it observes, it will give higher priority to memory that it sees frequently accessed, or the data puts them in higher priority pages, which means that they age out after the lower priority pages do. To try to keep them in RAM longer.
So prior to introduction of Superfetch, the memory manager's basic page cache was a single first-in, first-out list. Now there's 8 prioritized lists. So an app that's chewing through reading data in and putting it back in the cache is going to keep recycling the low priority pages and hopefully not have to reach in to repurpose cache data that is something that you're referencing more frequently.
Yeah, and speaking about priorities, there's besides the memory prioritization that was introduced in Vista, there's also I/O priorities that were introduced in Vista and actually are used by Superfetch. Superfetch, because it's being predictive, it doesn't want to interfere with what you're doing in the foreground. And so it, in the background, will fetch the stuff in, but it wants to do it at low priority, basically let your foreground activity, like if you're reading Outlook and it needs to do a disk I/O, that should take precedence over Superfetch proactively reading in something that you may or may not actually need. And so it will issue those I/Os that it's performing at low priority so that they go to the end of the list. Basically, there's a list of I/Os waiting to go down the storage stack. They go to the end of the list.
A good thing for I/O priorities, because Vista is constantly beating on your disk. It's good for you. We want it. Content indexing is another example. So I/O priorities make that sort of...
But they fix that in Windows 7.
It all works great.
Actually, SP1.
Right? SP1. Yeah. Okay, sorry, SP2. So let's keep on going. I mean, what about... one of the things we haven't discussed very much is dynamic system address space. What does that mean? What's going on here?
So on the 32-bit system, there were some decisions made back in 1990 when the NT kernel was being designed that took the 2 gigabyte address space, which at that time was a massive amount of virtual memory. I mean, 1990 to think of using 2 gigs of virtual memory. And it was divided in basically a set of partitions or segments, and the various components that the OS stores in kernel address space, code, data, file system cache, had some upper limits based on these artificial sort of lines in the sand. Landy Wang, incredibly bright.
He's memory man master.
Developer in the Windows team, distinguished engineer, went and basically redid all that work so that all of the components in system space can grow without any artificial limitations. The sum total still has to fit in the size of the address space, which is by default 2 gigs. So that means big scalability improvements on terminal servers, for example, or server systems, or specialized client systems. Again, this shows Microsoft still cares about 32 bits.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it seems like we keep talking about 64-bit. I'm running 64-bit Windows 7 right now, but not all applications have been written to take advantage of it. And Office comes to mind.
I use 64-bit, but you can write really large memos in Notepad.
So let's keep on going here. What I mean?
So speaking of Landy, there's another change that he made in Vista, which helps prevent malware from infecting the systems. In XP SP2, where there was a big security push, we introduced DEP, or Data Execution Prevention, which is marking pages of memory that shouldn't ever execute code, shouldn't ever have code that should be executed as non-executable. And that was made possible with advances in processor technology by Intel and AMD at the time. And what that means is malware that's trying to exploit a buffer overflow and put executable code on the heap or the stack will fail to execute that code if it's marked no execute. One of the holes in that in no execute is that malware that figures out how to call a function in the kernel can actually execute code just by passing parameters and maybe the address of the function that they want to call. So they're never actually having to execute data. They're actually executing code. And so a way to prevent them from figuring out where those functions are that they can call, ASLR, or address space load randomization, will go and every time the system boots, load system DLLs at different locations in memory, and then following that, application DLLs that are marked as ASLR compatible will load at random places as well. So they can't find functions like the kernel function to turn off ASL, DEP, for example, or to drop a file on the disk.
Interesting.
In fact, really, there's a lot of pretty fundamental security improvements. ASLR is one. The infrastructure for user account control, fundamental extension of the Windows security model, introducing mandatory integrity controls.
On top of the discretionary access controls that were there from the start.
Excellent.
BitLocker.
BitLocker was a big one of the big IT pro features, favorite features in Vista is BitLocker, the ability to encrypt the volume. So, you know, one of the common problems of laptops getting stolen is somebody has access potentially to sensitive corporate data. But with BitLocker, the entire volume is encrypted, so they, if they boot the system, unless they've got a PIN or a smart card, if it's protected that way, they can't gain access to the data. they can't install an alternate OS or take the disk out and put in another machine because it's locked to the Trusted Platform Module, TPM, that's embedded on the system that BitLocker was enabled on.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about, this is really exciting. It's the fifth book you guys have written, right? I mean, I've been involved with it to some degree. Let's talk a little bit about the history, because I think that's interesting.
So Inside Windows NT First Edition was actually the first book published about the Windows NT operating system. Mm-hmm. Written by Helen Custer. She was part of the original development team, worked for Dave Cutler. The book came out in October 92. I remember when I got my hands on it, I just read it from cover to cover. And at that time, I was starting to work on building a Windows Internals class. Helen retired from Microsoft, and I was privileged to be asked to take over the book and to work on the second edition, which was the NT4 update. Meanwhile, Mark is working on a competing book.
Called Windows Internals.
Yeah.
And actually, you can still go do internet searches and find it. It was going to be with IDG.
Still hasn't come out.
Still hasn't come out, yeah.
Nice. So, I worked on the second edition, mm-hmm. and much to Mark's surprise, it came out. And I think that was...
I remember going to the store and getting it, and I was so jealous. So I was like, wow, it's way better than I hoped it would be. He'd added experiments, something that Helen hadn't had, so it was really more of a hands-on, actually see the way the system works, not just read the theory of it, which was, I think, really a cool addition.
And it's something you obviously spent a lot of time on with SysInternals. I mean, that's how you really learn.
Yeah, in fact,
what's going
you used
on.
Some of the tools.
Yeah,
the
SysInternals tools were referenced. But Mark and I had a pretty distant relationship. I mean, he was sort of enemy number one of the Microsoft kernel team. So then I get this email from him saying, hey, Dave, how about we collaborate on the third edition, which was the Windows 2000 update.
Nice.
And we had started to have some friendly chats, and he was kind of changing his stance and being more cooperative with Microsoft. So I went to the Windows kernel team, key folks at the time, and I said, I really would like to bring Mark Rusinovich in to work on the third edition. And they were like, Mark Rusinovich, back.
Why? Why?
And I, because
I caused some problems.
Yeah,
that's good though. Yeah. Now look at you. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's amazing. I love this.
So that was a great step for Microsoft to allow you to work on the book. But they told me if Mark screwed up, it was my head. So we had a great time working on the third edition.
Actually, and then coincidentally, I ended up moving to a town 20 minutes from you in the middle of nowhere in Connecticut.
Nice.
So we would work on the book at each other's house.
Beautiful.
Each day I would arrive later,
a little
later.
Yeah, we talked about him shifting time zones, going further west.
So I guess one question that I have to ask before we end, I know you guys are very busy. You're teaching a class.
Yeah, I got to start in a few minutes here.
And Mark, of course, has lots of things to do. What is it about Windows, a general purpose operating system, that you were so interested in? I mean, NT was very interesting, but just real quickly.
I love the Windows kernel. I've spent 15 years now.
Well, actually, you came from VMS, so you actually and worked at Digital on VMS.
Working on the VMS kernel, coming to NT was like being home again.
Sure.
So many similarities. But I thought, if you asked me in 1992, would I still be loving telling people about how the Windows kernel works, I would say I can't imagine I'd still be doing that. I'm still doing it. I love talking about it. The evolution of the kernel continues to keep me interested. A lot of cool stuff coming in Windows 7 and... there's just nothing better.
Right on. Mark?
And for me, well, I had a Unix background, actually, coming into school. I did my PhD thesis on Unix, on actually Mach, BSD on top of Mach, which is actually what the iPhone and Mac OS is built on.
Nice.
At Carnegie Mellon, which is where that OS was came from, under Rick Rashid, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, Rick says he invented it. I mean, you can argue about that, but that's...
So anyway, I had this Unix background, but then I'd... started to get into PC technology, and Windows 3.0 and 3.1 were out, and then Windows NT 3.1 was coming out, matching the version number and actually having the same look and feel and being able to run the same apps, but still being a real, full, secure, scalable OS like Unix. And I just saw the writing on the wall that this thing was going to end up eating its way, first of all, into the workstation market in companies, where people get familiar with the way the system works and the looks and feels and have apps, ecosystem that builds up around it, and they're going to want to take that stuff into work. And so that's what I thought was going to be the future, and it turns out that it pretty much...
The weirdest thing for me, though, is that now I have to get my information from Mark at Microsoft. I used to have to escort him around the building. I had the card key. 2 years ago when I came, my card key had expired as a vendor. He had to let me in the door.
Very rewarding.
Amazing.
Very rewarding.
Well, and I think the other really good thing is that Mark is in a position as a technical fellow of the Windows kernel to make substantial changes, right? To actually really innovate beyond from the outside. I mean, you know, one
influence.
Could, influence yeah. is a better idea. Technical fellows have no authority.
Yeah. I call him a fella.
Felon?
Yeah, felon. Felon.
Fella.
Technical felon.
That's a little too familiar.
Actually, he used to be a technical felon back in the day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, now he's a fellow. That's a good one. Yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, I wish we had more time. I have a lot more questions to ask.
Thanks
Maybe we'll see you guys again soon.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Charles.
Take care. Awesome.